Heyo, what's up guys? I'm Kevin Lapka. It's just me today. Ryan Talley is out of town, so we're going to do a little solo podcast, take a few questions, talk about a few things from week 11. A crazy week it was. We saw possibly the greatest game of all time in LA last night. The Rams defeated the Chiefs 54-51, an absolute shootout, the highest scoring game in NFL history, the first game in NFL history in which both teams have scored 50 points. It was absolutely incredible to watch, but there are a significant number of takeaways from this game. We'll get there in a little bit, but otherwise a lot of close games, a few upsets, pretty exciting week overall in week 11. I guess we'll start with the Thursday night game. We're just going to go through a few games here, and then we're going to take some questions from Twitter. But Thursday night game, as far as playoff implications, you have the Seattle Seahawks winning 27-24 against the Green Bay Packers. And a lot of people I saw, you know, all on Twitter and social media after this game was, you know, is this the end for Mike McCarthy? And I keep seeing questions, who will be the first head coach fired this year? And I don't know if he's the first head coach fired because it's the Packers and they're not abysmal. Usually you'll see a team that's, you know, 3-8 or a poor record before the end of the season that will get fired, like Hugh Jackson. But they're going to probably finish out the season with him. But I don't see any way they keep Mike McCarthy at the end of the year. I mean, they had 4th-and-2 down there with like 2 minutes left and they don't go for it. I mean, I know you want to have trust in your defense, but you have Aaron Rodgers on the field, and it's 4th-and-2, and the odds are, with Aaron Rodgers, you should be able to draw something up that gets you that first down in that situation and move the ball down the field for a potential game-winning drive. So, you know, a lot of people question that, and just overall, I mean, this is, if you look at the whole past 10 years and the whole career of Mike McCarthy, this is a Packers team that's had possibly the greatest quarterback of all time for 10 or so years, and they have won one Super Bowl and have not, you know, been that impressive in the playoffs. So you begin to wonder, and now they're 4-5-1 this year, you begin to wonder, okay, what has Mike McCarthy done for this franchise, and what has he done to put us in a position to continue to make the playoffs and continue to be where they want to be with Aaron Rodgers? And I do think it's the end for him. There's been a lot of questionable decisions he has made. I mean, I know this isn't directly related to him, but like we say, he got rid of Hawk Clinton Dix, one of their key playmakers, and it clearly makes an effect on their defense, and now they're dropping games, and quite frankly, it's going to be very tough for them to get in the playoffs. They're going to have to go 6-1 in their next 7 games for them to get in. It would actually be 5-1 because they have that tie. So 5-1, and you know, they play teams like Atlanta, Chicago, Minnesota again, so it's going to be very tough for them to get in the playoffs, and if they somehow do, they might keep him, but odds are they don't, and odds are that they do fire Mike McCarthy and they go in a different direction. I see them hiring a defensive-minded coach probably, which is weird now because here we talk about the NFL, and you know, you see last night is the perfect example, 54-51, and you know, everyone's talking about how the NFL is changing and it's the offensive explosion now, and you know, is hiring a defensive coach the smart move or the wrong move? Because on one side of it, it's like, okay, you know, you want to hire an offensive coach so you can be a high-powered offense that can compete with the other higher-powered offenses in the NFL. Or, you know, if you hire a defensive-minded coach, you can have the perspective of, okay, let's have a great defense that can stop these high-powered offenses and still have a good offense. So it's an interesting thing to look at. We'll see how the hirings go this offseason. If teams are going to go, you know, more directed at offensive head coaches. I mean, it went this year. You saw Matt Nagy, you know, Pat Shermer, a lot of these guys, offensive guys who were getting hired in the offseason. So we'll see how it goes again this year. But yeah, Green Bay Packers, they're probably done in the playoffs, but the Seattle Seahawks, with that win, they moved to 5-5, put them in a nice position to make a run there for the NFC wildcard spot. Let's move on. We're going to go to Dallas and Atlanta. Quick hits on that. This is a pretty interesting game here. The Dallas Cowboys right now see themselves at 5-5, second in the NFC East. But quite frankly, they're technically leading the division because the Washington Redskins not only lost to the Houston Texans, but they lost their quarterback, Alex Smith, this is something extremely crazy. Joe Theismann, he had a similar injury. One of the worst injuries in NFL history. Alex Smith had another terrible injury. And those injuries both came on the same day. and the scores both ended the same, ending in a Redskins loss. I think that's absolutely insane, but tough break for Alex Smith. We wish him the best, but, you know, with Colt McCoy at the helm for Washington the rest of the way, it's not going to be easy for them to win this NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys kind of surging here, kind of figuring out who they are. I mean, Leighton Vander Esch is going to be the Defensive Rookie of the Year. He is just playing outstanding. And Amari Cooper, you know, he's having an impact on this offense. I was critical of it, but he's having an impact, and, you know, they seem a little bit more dynamic. But this Falcons team, 4-6, at this point, it's tough to see them getting in, considering the fact they'd probably have to go 6-0 all the way out, and there's just too many injuries for them. But I didn't like the play calling from Steve Sarkisian at all. They had a lot of opportunities down there in the red zone, and he kind of faltered. But overall, the whole year, his play calling has been better. But I do see the Atlanta Falcons getting rid of him and Dan Quinn this year. I see them cleaning house and, you know, resetting. I think if they give themselves a new coach and a possibly whole new staff just in time for Matt Ryan's career to end, they could make a playoff run next year and the year after with a new unit. But it's hard to see that happening as well, because, you know, this is a playoff team without all of the injuries, and next year they're going to have all those guys back, and they may not want to have to go through a coaching learning curve and a new coach phase where, you know, you don't see the performance that you would see with the original coach. But again, that's all subject. It's just very rare you'll see a brand new coach year one take a team to the Super Bowl. But with the talent of the Atlanta Falcons that they should have next year, I wouldn't be surprised to see a new coach possibly lead them to the place where they want to be. But, yep, Dallas Cowboys, it looks like they're going to win the division right now, because the Philadelphia Eagles have lost 48-7. And it's not even more of an impressive performance from the Saints, but more of a disappointing performance from the Philadelphia Eagles, who dropped to 4-6. I think this is the worst loss by a reigning Super Bowl champion in the following year. So things are not looking good in Philly. A lot of people I've seen in Philadelphia on social are talking about the fact that losing Frank Reich, who is now the head coach of the Colts, has really affected this team and the offense, and that's clear. I mean, they scored 7 points against the New Orleans defense that is vulnerable. Yeah, they're good, but, you know, Carson Wentz should be able to put points up on that secondary. And, you know, it's just so different down there in Philadelphia. I can't even believe it, honestly. This is a team that I thought was for sure going to make it back to the playoffs. You know, they had everything going for them. I know Carson Wentz was banged up earlier, but he came back. He looked ready to go. And, you know, you saw the reactions on the sideline. Carson Wentz threw his helmet. He's frustrated. Everyone's frustrated. The vibe, the energy, it's just different in Philadelphia, and it's not good. And they are going to miss out on the playoffs as well. On the other side, the New Orleans Saints have won 15 games by double digits since the start of last season, which is the most in the NFL. They continue that in this game. And this is a really cool stat, and you're talking about Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Since 2017, the Saints are 18-1 when Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram combine for 25-plus touches. I mean, this offense is just so dynamic. You got Drew Brees, highest completion percentage in the NFL. You got Michael Thomas, and then you got Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, the best running back tandem in the NFL. You know, it's pretty insane. But, again, their defense looks good, too. I think they are the best team in the NFL right now, because you want to talk about the Rams and you want to talk about the Chiefs and how exciting that game was, 54-51, right? I have a question for people who are putting these teams or praising these teams on that game. Where's the defense? I understand these are two of some of the best offenses we have seen in recent history. But, you know, you're not going to win football games in the playoffs by trying to outshoot a team with 50 points. It's not going to happen. You're not going to see 54-51 in the playoffs. There's just no way. So you got to look at defense right now. And of those teams who people say are the top three, which are the Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints, and, you know, maybe the Patriots, I'd say the Saints have the best defense as of now, although they're vulnerable. I mean, they held the Philadelphia Eagles to 7 points. They've been better than the Rams and the Chiefs. I think the Rams are on paper better. You know, they have more big-name players, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Aaron Donald. But the New Orleans Saints, you know, they have the Philadelphia Eagles to 7 points, and right now they look like the better defensive team. But I'm going to go out and say right now the best defensive team in the NFL are the Chicago Bears. And I don't, it might not even be close, to be honest. I mean, this is a Chicago Bears defense that, I know the score is 25-20 on Sunday night, absolutely dominated the game in all facets. Akeem Hicks played like a defensive player of the year that night. Khalil Mack is going to be Khalil Mack. By the way, I still think Khalil Mack's the best NFL, best defensive player in the NFL. Although Aaron Donald had such a good game on Monday Night Football, to me, Khalil Mack just offers more in what he can do and the impact that he has on the rest of the defense. I think that's really important. I mean, this defense was different without Khalil Mack. You saw that in the Patriots game when he was banged up and the Dolphins game when he was banged up. They're just different with this guy in the field. He affects the whole team, and I think that's more important than, you know, the specific plays. I know Aaron Donald had the fumbles and he just makes plays, but it's the impact on the rest of the defense to me and why he would be like the most valuable player in a sense. So, but to this game in general, the Chicago Bears, all bias aside, they're just a really good football team, and they proved that. Everyone wanted to question them about the validity of the Chicago Bears, and you know, they went out there and they shut out the Minnesota Vikings in that offense in the first half. I mean, Dalvin Cook had like -2 yards or something like that. Kirk Cousins, 2 interceptions. Dalvin Cook had 12 yards on 9 carries. I think he had -2 yards receiving. Yes, he did. Stephon Diggs had a nice game. Stephon Diggs is a really good player. I actually really like Stephon Diggs, although he's kind of a crazy man on the field. But Adam Thielen, only 7 receptions, 66 yards. But again, for the Chicago Bears, it all comes down to turnovers. I mean, multiple times did the Vikings have the ball in Chicago territory, and they were able to get the turnover and give the ball back to the offense. And it's just incredible what this team is able to do, the playmakers that they have. I mean, Eddie Jackson going down and getting a pick six to seal the game in the fourth quarter. You know, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, Bryce Callahan, Kyle Fuller, all these guys that can just make plays. It's pretty incredible. And right now you've seen the Chicago Bears take a 1.5 game lead in the NFC North, and you're kind of seeing them pull away here and identify themselves as the best team in the NFC North and as a team that is a force to be reckoned with in the NFC. And the reason why is because if you, again, I'm going to go back to this Monday night game. Rams 54, Chiefs 51, you know, Saints 48. If there's one team in the NFC that I think can stop one of these offenses, it's the Chicago Bears. And we'll find out on week 14. The Chicago Bears play the Los Angeles Rams in Chicago on Sunday Night Football, and I guess that will be the ultimate test. But, you know, you look at these teams, and I don't see how a playoff game here is going to end up 48-43. You know, it's going to be an absolute shootout. No, I think, to me, there's going to be have to be some defense played. And if there's one team, I'm going to say it again, that I think is going to have the ability to stop one of those teams in the playoffs, it's the Chicago Bears. Peter Schrager said it yesterday on Good Morning Football. He said, if you're the Saints, the one team you should be scared of is the Chicago Bears. And I completely agree. You know, this defense, number one in the NFL, they might be the only team that can stop one of these high-powered offenses in the NFC. So, let's move on now. We're going to go to a little AFC. You saw the Pittsburgh Steelers come back to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 20-16. They moved to 7-2-1. Jacksonville Jaguars dropped to 3-7. They are done. Even with Leonard Fournette back, they were not able to get it done. And this is a team, remember, Jacksonville Jaguars were in the AFC Championship last year. The Pittsburgh Steelers right now looks like they might find themselves back in the AFC Championship this year. But, you know, they did not have Le'Veon. It wasn't even a great game from Big Ben. He had 2-3 interceptions. James Conner only had 9 carries for 25 yards. But again, I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the thing to me starts with Mike Tomlin. It is a team that knows how to win football games. I mean, you have 3 interceptions from Ben Roethlisberger. You don't have a great offensive performance, but you lead a comeback in the fourth quarter, 14 points in the fourth to win the game. It's a team that knows how to win football games, and that's why they're so scary down the stretch and in the playoffs. Jacksonville, on the other hand, done. Dunzo. So, you know, in the rumors before Sunday, were that they're considering trading Jalen Ramsey. And I don't know what in the heck that is all about. I mean, they'll get a lot from him. If they take offers, they'll get a lot for that man, Jalen Ramsey, who is an all-pro, who will be an all-pro this year. But you know, he's a personality. His personality is an issue. I love the intensity that he brings, and I'm never going to question a player's intensity. But when you have a guy that speaks out like that, and you don't want a guy like that in the locker room who's trash talking, and I mean, I don't know what else he is like in the locker room, but you got to believe he causes some problems here and there. I mean, he's a little bit of a hothead. So, you know, he's incredibly talented. I love him as a player, but I'm sure all those trade rumors and stuff are stemming from the personality issues and all that. So, you know, we'll see what happens in Jacksonville. But if they trade a player like Jalen Ramsey, it doesn't collapse their defense, but it doesn't make it as good as they are. And if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm going to go, I don't know if you're that upset at being 3-7. And here's why. You're going to get a nice draft pick at this point. Top 10, possibly. They're in the top 10 right now. And what does that allow you to do? It allows you to take a nice quarterback, get rid of Blake Bortles, and be a competitive team year one with a new quarterback. Because we all know this defense is good enough in Jacksonville. They're one of the better on-paper defenses in the NFL. But the thing that holds them back is the lack of dynamic on offense. And they were able to get it done last year with the ground and pound with Leonard Fournette. And, you know, he's still coming back. He's still not completely healthy, but they haven't been able to get it done with him. And this is just not the same team. And they're not going to be the team that they want to be unless they get a new quarterback. So we'll see how it plays out with them in the draft order. But even if they win out, they'll be 9-7. And which could be good enough to make the playoffs in the NFC, but they're not going to win out. But in this AFC South, you got the Houston Texans pulling away at 7-3, but keep an eye on the Indianapolis Colts. Defeated the Tennessee Titans 38-10, a Tennessee Titans team that just beat the Patriots by a significant amount. And right now, if you're talking about the MVP position or the MVP award, you got to be considering Andrew Luck here. Andrew Luck's stats from this one in Tennessee. 23 for 29, completion for attempts, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. This is a guy last year and the year before that missed a significant amount of time due to a shoulder injury. Not a leg injury, not any chest injury, any other body part injury, a shoulder injury on his throwing arm. Right? That could be devastating for a lot of players. And he comes back the next year. I mean, people don't even know if he's healthy this season. And he goes out and he leads the NFL in touchdowns. No, I think Patrick Mahomes leads the NFL in touchdowns. He is second, but he's carrying this team. And it's pretty insane that this Indianapolis Colts team is at 5-5. After starting 1-5, they have won 4 in a row, gotten themselves back to .500. But the most important takeaway for the Indianapolis Colts is the offensive line. This is an offensive line last year and years prior that was the worst in the NFL, by far the worst. It was a storyline every week, how much Andrew Luck got hit, how bad it was for his health. It's what led to the shoulder injury. And now, I don't think they've allowed a sack in 5 games. I don't know if that's the exact number, but it's something crazy like that. They're nearing the NFL record for games without a sack. And, you know, props to them. Drafted Quentin Nelson, a guy that I thought the Bears could have taken. And, boy, is he good. Boy, is he good. And he's kind of anchoring that offensive line. And there, you know, it's a lot of Andrew Luck, but they are a huge reason to the success of this team. This is why you're seeing Marlon Mack have success. He only had, what did he have? He had 16 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown. So nice fantasy performance, but not as many rushing yards. But again, it doesn't matter. This Indianapolis Colts team won by 28. Andrew Luck became the third player in NFL history with 160-plus pass touchdowns in his first 80 games, joining Hall of Famers Dan Marino and Green Bay's Aaron Rodgers. So he clearly is having an MVP season. He should be discussed up there with Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees. So hell of a job at Andrew Luck and hell of a job at the Indianapolis Colts to win 4 in a row and put themselves in a position for the AFC wild card and still alive in the AFC South. All right, we're going to take a few questions. First question, since this is the first podcast before Thanksgiving, on Twitter, Jay Reed asks, which food should be selected first in the Thanksgiving mock draft? Boy, I love that. Which food, that is. Which food should be selected first in the Thanksgiving mock draft? And you know what? I'm going to have to go with stuffing. The good old dressing. It doesn't get better than that. I love the turkey. I love the gravy and the mashed potatoes. But stuffing, to me, is my favorite. That would be selected first in the Thanksgiving mock draft. Next question we have from an NFL account on Twitter. They ask, who will be the first NFL head coach fired this year? I mentioned that earlier in the podcast. First NFL head coach. Well, I know that Mike McCarthy is going to get fired. First head coach to be fired. I'm looking around the league right now. I don't see a lot of teams that at this point are going to fire their head coach before the season ends. If you look at some of these, it could be Dirk Cutter, Tampa Bay. They're a mess. They're actually just switching to Jameis Winston next week. He came in later in the game. They're a mess. It could be Dirk Cutter. It's not going to be Pat Shurmur in New York. They've won two in a row, and he's a first-year head coach. It's not going to be Steve Wilks in Arizona. I know they're not looking great, and they lost to Oakland, but he's a first-year. It's not going to be John Gruden. He's a first-year. Could be Vance Joseph in Denver, but they just came off a win against a good Chargers team. So to answer that question, I'm going to go Mike McCarthy. I think the moment the season's over, he gets fired. I think it's just not been impressive for him, and it seems like the front office might want to go a different direction. They don't make moves in the offseason. I think they move away from Mike Carr for the end of this year. All right, another one. Lonnie asks, was this the best Monday Night Football game? Was this the best game in NFL history? This is tough. Oh, God. I mean, it depends how you see it. If you're a defensive fan in the NFL, you're not going to go out there and say this was the best game in NFL history because it didn't. There was no defense in this game. Defense wasn't a factor. This was a 7-on-7 flag football game. I mean, seriously, 54-51. You know, as a fan, this was the best game to watch in NFL history. I mean, when you have two quarterbacks putting up 11 touchdowns, you know, 800 plus yards, it was so fun to watch. I'll say that. It was extremely fun to watch. And it was comprised of so many big plays, two high-powered offenses. But, you know, I would still have loved to see some defense. I mean, you saw the defense. I'm not going to say you didn't see the defense. You saw the pick six and you saw the fumble six. But, you know, sometimes a 6-3 game that comes down to a game-winning field goal is just as good as a 54-51 game. But more people obviously are interested in the high-powered offense games, and this is widely being known as the best game in NFL history. And I'll say it, I think this was the best game in NFL history. Would have liked to see some defense, but man, it was fun to watch, and I'm sure a lot of other people agree that it was the best game in NFL history. All right, next question from John on Twitter. John asks, who's the better team in the NFC? The Rams or the Saints? Well, I mean, if you want to go head-to-head, it's the Saints because they beat the Rams. And, you know, the Rams might be better talent-wise, but I said it earlier, I'm going to go with the Saints because of the defense. Again, you're not going to win a playoff game trying to outscore a team with 54 points. This is a defense. I know how good the Kansas City Chiefs offense is, but this is a Rams defense that signed Dante Fowler, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Aaron Donald. You know, they have absolute brutes in the trenches, and they're a team that should absolutely have the talent to hold this Kansas City Chiefs to 30 points, and they did not, and it concerns me as far as their defense goes. So I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints as the better team and as the best team in the NFC right now. Sean Payton is on another level with his offensive play calling, and this Rams team to me does not have enough defense. In my opinion, the Saints do have enough defense, so I'm going to go with the Saints right here as the best team in the NFC. Next question we're going to go to is, who do you think wins the NFC East? The Giants, the Redskins, the Cowboys, or the Eagles? I don't even know why they put the Giants or the Eagles in here, because the Eagles are 4-6. The leader of the NFC East right now is 6-4, but we talked about the Washington Redskins losing Alex Smith, and they're probably out of the running, in my opinion. I don't think Colt McCoy gets it done for the next six games. Philadelphia, they don't have a tough schedule. Let's see who they got. The Dallas Cowboys, right now 5-5. I think they're in the right position to win the NFC East. This week, Giants play the Eagles. Eagles get the Redskins the week after. Then they get the Cowboys. So they have three straight NFC East games. So if they want to make a put, okay, it's not over for them. It's not over for them if you're the Philadelphia Eagles. Simply, the reason why I say that is because this team has enough talent to make a bounce back like this. And they play the Giants, winnable game. They play the Redskins, winnable game. So let's say they win those next two games, right? They're 6-6, winning two straight NFC East divisional games. Then you go to play the Dallas Cowboys. Who knows what their record will be at that point, but that could be a game to decide first place in the division. So if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, that's not too bad. But then after that, you play the Rams. So let's say you drop that. Let's say you win the next three, but then you drop the Rams game. That's 7-7. Then you play the Texans, winnable game. Then you play the Redskins, winnable game. So if you're the Eagles, you got to go 5-1. You got to go 5-1, and the only reason you have a chance to make the playoffs here is because of the mediocrity of the NFC East. So to answer the question, I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys right now. They're kind of finding themselves with Zeke and Dak, with Amari Cooper in this offense, Leighton Vander Esch stepping it up. I don't know when Sean Lee comes back, but it'll be interesting to see what they do when he comes back. I think they said in the broadcast that Jerry Jones says he wants to swap Sean Lee and Leighton Vander Esch, give him like 50-50 each in the game. But I don't see why he can't move Vander Esch to a different linebacker position and get both of them out there, because if I think you have Vander Esch and Sean Lee out there, it's pretty scary. So we'll see what they do, but right now Dallas 5-5 is in the best position to win NFC East, and I think they do that. I think they get a win on Thanksgiving, and I think they do end up winning the NFC East, which I would not have said 2 weeks ago, but that's how crazy this division is. Let's go on another question. Where we got? What we got? What we got? Okay. Ryan from Twitter. Not Ryan, my podcast mate, but a different Ryan from Twitter asks, can the Chicago Bears make it to the NFC Championship? Well, Ryan, you know I'm a Bears fan, but I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to use the same reasoning that I used before. This Chicago Bears defense is the only defense in the NFC that can stop a high-powered offense like the Saints or like the Rams. And I think right now they have proved themselves as the third best team in the NFC. Carolina just lost to Detroit. They've dropped two in a row with some pretty unimpressive games. I think they are out of the mix for the NFC Championship. So I really do think at this point, I mean, I'm looking across the score, I think it comes down to the Rams, the Saints, and the Bears. If you're the Bears, the only thing that scares you is the inexperience with the first-year head coach. And they have a lot of talent, but, you know, the Rams last year, kind of a similar team, lost in the first round. So, the Bears can make the NFC Championship, and I think, again, it depends how it plays out. It depends how it plays out, but they definitely can. They definitely can with this defense. I mean, they can beat anybody. They can beat anybody. They should have beat the New England Patriots had they not let two special teams errors occur, and if Khalil Mack was fully healthy. So, you know, I don't want to let the team lie on the health of Khalil Mack, but it is very crucial. But yes, this team can beat anybody, and you could definitely see them in the NFC Championship. That is not unfathomable at this point of the season. They are 7-3, third best in the NFC. Definitely could see them in that position. But again, the litmus test will be against the Rams at home, week 14. Keep your eye on that game. That will be one of the best games of the season. All right. NFL account on Twitter asks, who will win Coach of the Year at the end of the year? Ooh, this is tough. This is really tough. You got Sean McVay here leading the Rams to 10-1. You got Sean Payton leading the Saints to 9-1. And then I'd probably say Matt Nagy leading the Chicago Bears to 7-3 after being 5-11 last year. I'd put Matt Nagy up there. To win it, though? Ooh, to win it. I'm going to go Matt Nagy. And this isn't biased either. This is a Chicago Bears team that was last in the NFC last year. And are now first in the NFC North. And now first in the NFC North. I know Sean Payton is leading the Saints to 9-1. I know Sean McVay is leading the Rams to 10-1. But I think what Nagy was able to do to turn over this roster, turn this team over, and turn them into what they are now, is worthy of the Coach of the Year award, and I think he does win it because of that. Not because of the record itself, not because of the play calling itself, but because of what he was able to do given a year's work, and it's really impressive. So I'm going to go Matt Nagy, Coach of the Year, at the end of the year in the NFL. Few more questions here. Looking around, what do we got? Can the Houston Texans make a run for the Super Bowl? It's a very good question. Right now, the Houston Texans, they have some iffy wins, but they're winning football games. And this defense right now is pretty scary. And this offense right now is the thing that worries about me about them making the playoffs. Or not, they're going to make the playoffs, about them making it to the Super Bowl. The offense is not what they were last year. Deshaun Watson has not been what he was. I mean, yesterday against the Redskins, you know, he's 16 for 24, 208 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. I mean, right now, Mitchell Trubisky is outplaying Deshaun Watson for this year. It's evident. But they're winning football games. I'll give them that. But they're winning football games. But it's all coming from their defense. And they have the defense to make a run. But I don't think the offense is enough. You know, they lost... who'd they lose? They lost Will Fuller. Their leading receiver was Kiki Cootie, who I like. But, you know, Lamar Miller doesn't do enough out of the backfield for me. I know he had 20 carries for 86 yards. But this offense is not what they are. And it's not going to be enough for them to keep up with a team like the Steelers or the Patriots to me. Although the Patriots right now aren't surefire. They lost to the Titans. They've had some weird losses. They've been close in a lot of games. They're not the dominant Patriots of years past. I'll say that. So, I don't think that... To answer the question, I don't think the Texans have a chance to win the Super Bowl. They're just not high-powered enough on offense. And the defense is good enough. But again, I don't think this offense has the ability right now to beat a team like the Patriots or the Steelers, who I do think will be the two teams in the AFC Championship. So we'll see how they do the rest of the year, but again, they have some really weird losses, and I know they're on a, you know, 6-game win streak, but we'll see how that plays out. I do not think the Texans will have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Next question, this one regarding John Gruden in Oakland. NFL account on Twitter asks, John Gruden, Oakland, does he have a chance to make this team a playoff team in the next 3 years? 3 years, all right. Wow, it's a tough question. To turn around this roster in 3 years is going to be tough. You're going from the oldest roster in the NFL, 2-8, quite possibly the worst team in the NFL. But, you know, you have the Khalil Mack trade, you have the Amari Cooper trade. They have a lot of picks ahead of them, a lot. And they should be able to build a base for this franchise. And if they want to build around Derek Carr, even better. Because that saves them a draft pick. But for me, the thing that I look at, it's not guaranteed that John Gruden's going to hit on every one of these draft picks. Like, yeah, you want to say that the Oakland Raiders have, you know, seven first-rounders in the next 3 years. That's overrated. I don't think it's seven. I think it's five. Maybe five or six. Maybe five. Five first-rounders in the next 3 years. It's not guaranteed that those five players are going to be impact players for the Oakland Raiders. I guarantee one of them will be a bust. It's just the way it goes in the NFL. It's the way it happens. It's very unlikely you'll hit on every one of your draft picks. And right now, you know, they got two picks from the Chicago Bears, who are 7-3 now. So those picks right now are in the 26th slot in the draft order. And the Cowboys, who are now winning, their Amari Cooper pick that they got for Amari Cooper is now dropping. So, these picks that they've accumulated are now becoming lower, which, you know, it makes a difference. You know, you still got the picks, but it makes a difference when they're lower. So, I think they can turn this roster around. I think it's different if they let go of Derek Carr. You saw the confrontation between Carr and Gruden on the sideline this weekend, and now they made it up later in the game. You know, they gave each other a hug, and it was all good, but... You know, if you go the direction of a rookie quarterback which I'm sure John Gruden wouldn't be opposed to. The guy loves quarterbacks and loves dealing with rookie quarterbacks. But there's much more of a learning curve, and it would take a longer time. I think if you give a rookie quarterback, it would take him 4 years to get back to the playoffs. But with the picks that they have, and if they surround Derek Carr with the weapons that he needs, and they bring this defense, and they sign some free agents, and they get some guys, I think this could be a playoff team in 3 years. So it's something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, they could be a playoff team in 3 years if John Gruden hits on 4 out of 5 of those picks. All right, we're going to move on now. We're going to go to one or two more questions. What do we got? What do we got? All right. NFL account on Twitter asks, Baltimore Ravens, playoff contender, yes or no? Baltimore Ravens right now 5-5, coming off a 24-21 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Playoff contender? Playoff contender, yes. As in, they can make the playoffs. But as far as what they can do in the playoffs, I'm going to say not much. It's a defense that is very good. But this is an offense that we don't really know what the heck they are. You know, this week, kind of a highlight I didn't mention was Lamar Jackson started this game. His first start as a rookie. And he had 8 more carries than passing attempts. Now, he rushed for 117 yards because he's a very talented rusher. But he passed 13 for 19, 150 yards, and 1 interception. I don't think there's any way the Ravens stick with Lamar Jackson when Flacco comes back. Because if they do, this formula of rushing the ball with Lamar Jackson 27 times a game is not going to work against a team like the Steelers or the Patriots. I mean, their offense is different with Flacco, and it's probably better with Flacco. But it's just not enough. This offseason, they have to commit to Lamar Jackson. And they have to make him a passer. Because we've never seen a guy who runs this much and is successful. He's basically a running back who throws 19 times a game. I mean, that's what he is. So, I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent to be a passer in the NFL. But you know, they're really going to have to develop him, and they're really going to have to commit to the passing game. Like, yeah, you can rush him 10 times a game if you want, but if you want to be successful against some of these teams, you're going to have to pass him 20-plus times a game and have him be successful. So, not this year for the Baltimore Ravens. They might not even make the playoffs right now. I don't think they have a spot as of now. They might be in a wild card spot, but in the future, they're going to have to go with Lamar Jackson if they want this team to be successful. The pick surprised me in the first place when they selected Lamar Jackson. I guess you take him when he's there, but to me, I thought they would convert him to running. I mean, that's what they did. They basically converted him to running back while Flacco was the quarterback. He comes in and he runs the ball every once in a while in a wildcat formation, but we'll see. I think they commit to Lamar Jackson in the offseason, but this year they do not have a chance to be playoff contenders, meaning they will not be able to do anything in the event that they make the playoffs. Last question. NFL account Twitter asks, through 11 weeks of the season, who will you see in the Super Bowl? This is tough. I'll say right now, you're not going to see the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Not at all. You put up 51 points, and you lose the football game. Prior to Monday night, teams that put up 50-plus points in a game were 216-0, undefeated, when putting up 50 points in a game. The Chiefs, however, managed to lose. Despite their quarterback throwing 6 touchdowns, despite Tyreek Hill having 271 yards receiving, they lose the football game. This is a defense all year that's been one of the worst in the NFL. Right now, I think they are ranked worse in the NFL because of yards per game, considering they just let up like 500 to the Rams. And to me, there's no way. There's no way this defense is good enough. I think you're going to see the Steelers in the Super Bowl. It's a tough pick. It's hard to bet against the Patriots. It really is. It's very hard. And they're just not having the same year. And I know we can say that the past few years, they've had shaky starts. But again, shaky starts. Meaning, the first five games, they haven't looked like themselves. And then they usually pick it up. And they did that this year. You know, they were like 2-2. And then they picked it up. And people were like, okay, the Patriots. You know, the Patriots again. And now they lost to the Titans. And they had bye week this week, but they lost an important game at this point of the season by a lot to a mediocre team. And I start to wonder if they've peaked and if they're on the downfall and if they're vulnerable. And I do think the Steelers can catch them in the playoffs. I don't think you'll see the Chiefs. I don't. And it's not because of the history of the first round losses for the Chiefs. I know it happens. And I know it happened last year, how good they were. And then they lost in the first round and happened a few years ago. But to me, it's just the defense is not talented enough. And they're going to have to get some playmakers on defense if they want to have a chance to win the Super Bowl, which they will have many chances in the coming years. They are built for success right now with that team and for the future. But you're going to see the Steelers in the Super Bowl on the AFC side. Now, in the NFC side, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints. At this point, they just look like the much better team in the NFL, in the NFC. The defense just looks so much better than the Rams' defense. I know the Rams have more playmakers, but better defense, more creativity on offense, better, you know, Drew Brees is the better quarterback. It's so hard to stop this Saints offense. I know it's really hard to stop this Rams offense, so I guess it comes down to defense. To me, Saints defense is better than the Rams defense. So you're going to see the Saints and the Steelers in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53. But don't be surprised if you see a team like Chicago Bears up there too in the Super Bowl. And it could also very well be the New England Patriots because they are just different in the playoffs, but right now, I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl. So that just about wraps it up. We answered a few questions, went through a few games. Again, a very interesting week for week 11. A little look at week 12. Well, first you have the Thanksgiving game. So it starts with Bears at Lions, the 11:30 game. Eat some turkey, watch some NFC North. Then you got the typical Redskins at Cowboys game. Eat a little bit more turkey. Watch the Cowboys beat the Redskins at home. Then Sunday Night Football. Who's going to get the turkey leg for best performance of the game? Saints, Falcons on Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a close game, people. It's going to be a close game. Divisional matchup. These teams went into overtime earlier in the year, so don't expect a huge blowout. Going to go with the Saints, however. The defense of the Falcons is too vulnerable with all those injuries that they have. And the Saints right now are just on fire. But Falcons could very well win this game. So, going to take the Saints. But enjoy your Thanksgiving. Have some turkey. Watch some football. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Subscribe. We are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we are there. We'd love if you could give us a subscribe. Gets us a few cents for the college tuition. We'd really appreciate it. But have a great week. Watch the games on Thanksgiving. We'll be back for the week 12 recap on Monday night. Have a great week, guys.